If you don't know what to get your significant other for that special occasion, then head over to giftingnap.com. The team at Gifting Map has curated an amazing collection of great gifts for that special guy or girl in your life. Visit giftingnap.com today. Welcome back to Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's your host, Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us on the BetDSI.com Inside Line, covers college football for SB Nation. He's Matt Brown. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
Hey, appreciate you making some time for us. So I guess let's get started with, what is the most prominent guy to not play this week? Notre Dame's starting quarterback is not going to play. Ian Book is going to get the week off. He's got a rib injury. They're playing Florida State. Brandon Wimbush, who started the year as the starting quarterback and then lost it to Book about 4 weeks into the season, he's going to start. Is this anything to be worried about for the Irish? How bad are the Seminoles?
The Seminoles are pretty bad this season. And I think a lot of the national conversation has been framing this like, oh, you know, Willie Taggart's lost control, or this was a terrible hire. And I think the reason for Florida State struggle so much this year have been a confluence of changing to a completely new offensive system and really having some bad injury luck and some big recruiting misses over the past couple of years. Like, this is an offensive line that can't block anybody. And there's no quarterback on this roster that's really equipped to run at the tempo that Taggart wants to go. And if you can't block anybody, it doesn't matter what kind of exciting skill position talent you have on offense or even what else you're really doing on defense, if you can't score more than 17 points. And that's why I think Notre Dame is probably going to be just fine. Wimbush is somebody who still has some explosiveness when he's running an offense, particularly within the quarterback run game. He's not nearly as efficient of a passer. And that was really the big problem with Notre Dame over those first couple of weeks, to go from a guy, you know, that's completing, you know, 54-55% of his passes and struggling to go attack defenses vertically and switch to a guy that can complete in, I think, like the high 60s. That's a big difference. Maybe I'd be a little bit more nervous about Notre Dame covering for this particular game, but even though this is going to be very emotional and it's a big game in a week where there aren't very many of them, I still would be pretty surprised if Notre Dame doesn't win by double digits.
Hey, I know this doesn't pertain to any particular game going on right now. It's just one of those things that I find odd. Tim Brown's 87 Heisman Trophy is being auctioned. Now, he sold the trophy a year ago to somebody privately, and that person is going to put it up for auction. Tim Brown made a pretty good amount of money in his career. Why is Tim Brown selling his Heisman?
I don't know. And when I see things like this, honestly, it bums me out a little bit. Like, it would be nice if the Heisman Trust was, you know, functioning enough. And I think there's been a lot of internal controversy with that organization. If they can just step in and say, hey, you know, we're going to consolidate all of these things here for history, and we'll, you know, if you're not able to have it anymore for whatever reason, we'll make sure the College Football Hall of Fame or some other place is able to you know, pick up these kind of things. They're not lost to private collectors, and maybe to help individual players, particularly as they get much older and their earning potential ends. I'm not sure of the particulars of his personal financial decisions. If this is something that he has to do out of duress and not personal choice, I think that's too bad, and it's certainly not unheard of within professional athletes in general. And you know, it's even more complicated in football, where your career, your ability to you know, project what you might be making long term is probably lower than it is in the other major sports.
Talking with Matt Brown, he covers college football for SB Nation, with us on the BetDSI.com Inside Line. Matt, Alabama, fresh off of a whitewashing of LSU, we'll go home and take on 16th-ranked Mississippi State this week. How many touchdowns do the Bulldogs lose by?
Honestly, the bigger question here isn't so much what Mississippi State wants to do. It's really entirely a question of Alabama. Mississippi State's a pretty good football team. They have a really strong defense, a pass rush that is, I think – performed above what you might expect from their recruiting rankings, even though they've brought in a couple of NFL caliber guys, I think, here. It's just that this is the best Alabama team that we've seen during the Nick Saban era, which is really something. And the only real way to beat a team like this, I think, is to do something that really nobody else in the SEC is capable of doing. The teams that have managed to beat a Nick Saban Alabama team have been those that have mobile quarterbacks that can attack defenses downfield, run up tempo, and make Alabama uncomfortable. And you don't necessarily have to be a great team to do that, like the Ole Miss teams that were able to beat Alabama. That's the format that Ohio State ran. That's what Clemson did, just running a gajillion plays. And there's nobody in the SEC, certainly not Mississippi State, who's capable of doing that. And maybe only one or two teams nationally this season. And it's entirely possible that we'll have a four-team playoff with none of them. So, you know, if you're an Alabama fan, watch this game. If you're not, there's probably not going to be a reason to tune in by the beginning of the third quarter.
Wow, giving them to the third quarter. All right. So you get to watch a half of Alabama this week before you want to flip this channel. Now, Clemson, they also have a ranked game. They're going to head up to BC. How good is BC? What kind of team are they?
And man, this is hard to say because I feel like this is a slightly different version of BC, and that they actually use tempo on offense. You know, typically what Boston College has done these past couple of years is try to slow the football game down completely, try to dominate the time of possession, and be kind of like a low rent version of Wisconsin, which in a conference where you don't see that kind of play very often can. You know, really confuse a couple of teams. And this year, they're a little bit more talented. They have, I think, probably the best offense they've had in 5 or 6 years. Like, they're a good team. I think their win-loss record is inflated a little bit because this is a bad year for the ACC. You know, there were a lot of teams that were supposed to be in that 8, 9, maybe 10 win range whether that's due to injury or attrition or weird coaching or a bunch of other stuff, have taken a huge step back. And that's helped programs like Boston College and Syracuse have really good seasons. I think in part because someone's got to win these games. And Virginia Tech and Florida State and North Carolina and Pitt and Louisville camp aren't winning, somebody has to pick it up. This is probably the only team left on the schedule that I think can make Clemson sweat a little bit just because they try to do things that they're not as equipped really to do. But the talent differential, especially with Clemson's ability to be explosive and within the interior of their defensive line, should give them a pretty big advantage.
So Alabama should stomp. Clemson should stomp. Notre Dame should stomp. Michigan's got Rutgers. That's not even a game. Those will play a high school team.
you might want to watch that one to see if they score 80.
Georgia's got Auburn at home. Now, Auburn is one of those teams where, you know, 1 week they look like, all right, how are these guys any good? And the next week it's like, look how good these guys are. What is the Jekyll and Hyde of Auburn?
That is an existential question, my friend, because that's not limited to this year. I
feel like that's like every year, right?
Yeah, for like the last decade. You know, if there's no other program that recruits at that level, I think, in college football, that is capable of going from playoff contender to bowl game in Shreveport from a year-to-year basis, and you have no real ability to predict why. You know, here, this year's edition has a terrible offensive line. And this, you know, Auburn schematically, what they want to do is pound you running the football, particularly between the tackles, and then, you know, attack you on the outside. And if they can't run the ball, they, you know, this isn't a team that can find success throwing the ball 42 times a game. And even, you know, they have an above average quarterback. And that's what's led here to this huge mess. In a week where most of the teams, like in the top 10, top 15, aren't really playing, you know, big games, there's a bunch of weird history in this one, this might be your best chance for an upset. But if I, you know, had to predict what Auburn was going to do week to week professionally, I would not have a job very long because I feel like that's impossible.
Matt Brown covers college football for SB Nation with us on the BetDSI.com. It's Bedlam Week. Oklahoma, Oak State. Now, this is technically a rivalry game, but I subscribe to the if one team always wins, it's not really a rivalry. I feel like Oklahoma wins this game way more often than not. Do you expect that to change at all this year?
Yeah, you know, this is a funny kind of rivalry because you're right. Especially historically, Oklahoma is way more successful, way more, you know, way more resourced. Oklahoma State doesn't really recruit four-star guys very often. Like, the Sooners should win most of the time. But there is some real bad feelings between these two. I don't know if it's because their fan bases live on top of each other, maybe in a way that they don't necessarily with Oklahoma and Texas. But it means a lot to the players, even if the Sooners should win. And the Sooners should win in this one here. And then, honestly, I think this is the team that's probably best equipped to beat Alabama, even if I don't think they're the second best team in the country, if that makes sense. This has been a not great season for the Sooners. They haven't been able to run the ball nearly as well as you'd like them to do. And it's going to be really difficult for this defense to slow down Oklahoma. I don't love Oklahoma's defense, but they really have barely missed a beat offensively after losing Baker Mayfield. That's a testament to their, you know, their creative play calling. It's a testament to having a guy like, you know, Kyler Murray, who's going to be an extremely rich professional athlete, on, you know, in baseball, or, you know, if he wanted to, he could in football as well. I don't like the way these teams match up. Like, I think Oklahoma is significantly better than anybody else in the Big 12, including West Virginia right now. But when, you know, people hate each other, sometimes weird things happen.
I think it's funny you're using the word defense when talking about a Big 12 matchup.
I know, it's funny. A couple of teams in the Big 12, honest to God, do play defense. Iowa State does play defense. Not really this year, but in another year, you know, TCU does. Texas has done it a couple of times. The stats always, I think, look a little bit worse than they might than they actually are, because Big 12 teams almost uniformly run some variation of tempo. A lot of them run the air raid, and so they're going to be, you know, they're going to be facing 20, 22 more plays a game than somebody in the Big Ten, even if the defenses aren't necessarily, you know, that big of a difference. But certainly, yeah, like Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and West Virginia, these defenses, they're great.
All right, Matt, I got a buddy of mine who does a lot of play-by-play for ESPN and for, you know, universities. And he's a big Iowa fan, and I know he usually picks up the show because he tells me, he'll text me every Friday and be like, why didn't you talk about Iowa? Why didn't you talk about Iowa? You know, and he gives me a hard time about it. We've been friends for a long time. He's a terrific broadcaster. Iowa is coming off of a loss to Purdue. And I guess we can't bag on Purdue because Purdue now has a couple of nice wins. They're going to get Northwestern this week. Does Iowa handle Northwestern?
I can't. I honestly don't think Northwestern's very good, even though they're in the driver's seat here for the Big Ten West, which if you had, you know, asked anybody if that was the case this late in the season, of, you know, back in the summer, they would have thought it was, you know, you were completely ridiculous. Wisconsin was just an overwhelming favorite, you know, a dark horse playoff contender. And one of the weird things about Northwestern is they were an atrocious second half team in the beginning of the year, right? They blew this game to Akron. Is that even good for a MAC team? It was like Akron's first Big Ten win since before the Big Ten existed or before they were called Akron. They were like some you know, Unitarian tiny college or something. And then they've turned that around, I think, after really blowing the game against Michigan, and have now been way better in close games than you would expect statistically. One of the big things that we use a lot at SB Nation is this thing called S&P Plus, which evaluates teams on a per-play basis independent of pace, right? And there, Northwestern projects to be about an average team, but because they've been a little bit lucky and, you know, the schedule's broken, they're in a much different place on the standings. I actually like a lot of what Iowa's done this year. Their offense is fun, which is something I don't think we've been able to say about Iowa since, like, the Ricky Stanzi years, right? They're actually going for it on fourth down. They've been aggressive. They've opened up their playbook. We can't make the same, you know, Iowa punting from the 37 jokes that we, the college football Twitter has been doing for a while, because that's not what this Iowa team is. Their strength is throwing the football. If they're able to get out to any kind of lead at all, I don't think Northwestern can play from behind very well. I think Iowa can win this game.
Matt Brown covers college football for SB Nation. Follow him on Twitter at MattSBN. Matt, appreciate you taking some time with us. Hey, lots of great info. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
Matt Brown, SB Nation, with us on the BetDSI.com Inside Line. Our guest lines are sponsored by BetDSI.com. Use promo code WIN125. Get a 125% bonus on your initial deposit when you sign up with BetDSI.com.